Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement. A new study denounces the waiver of juveniles for prosecution in adult courts.
Remember the Attica Rebellion.
And an essay by Mamiya Abu-Jamal entitled Clinton's Poverty Tour. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
As the U.S. Congress hammers out the final wording of the youth crime bill it has considered since April, a new study released by the Justice Policy Institute denounces one of the gross practices heralded by the pending legislation. The ability of prosecutors to decide whether to try juveniles in adult or juvenile court. In most states, this power resides with the judge. In some, laws spell out which crimes get waived to adult court. But in 15 states, prosecutors can make this decision in a case-by-case basis. The Justice Policy Institute study was based on Florida, the leading state in this practice. In 1998, Florida prosecutors sent 4,660 children to adult court. In 36 states, judges make the decision. But in 1995, judges sent less than 10,000 juveniles to adult court. Florida's prosecutors transferred 7,000 in that same year. Juvenile crime rates are higher, not lower, in states that allow prosecutors to decide. And at the same time that the waivers are increasing, the number of cases going through juvenile justice system continues to soar. Florida has the sixth largest juvenile incarceration rate per 100,000. Finally, the Justice Policy Institute cites other studies showing that juveniles sent to adult prison are more likely to be arrested again than those sent to juvenile facilities. And the Justice Policy Institute concludes the policy's failure based on moral, ethical grounds. The practice disproportionately targets oppressed nation youth, with blacks 2.3 times more likely than whites to be transferred to adult court. The majority of cases transferred are for nonviolent property crimes, not the violent cases for which the practice was supposedly created. And the study reports that the suicide rate for youths is 7.7% higher when they are in adult instead of juvenile prisons. Childhood and adulthood are socially defined categories, policed in the U.S. by a patriarchal and white supremacist state. Some acts are criminal only by virtue of the age of the offender, running away, breaking a curfew, having sex. It is bad enough that this legal system decides who is and who is not a child, as in statutory rape laws. When they are considered youth, people are not permitted to control their own lives. So the law exists to control all children. When they are no longer considered youth, they are oppressed or repressed in this country based primarily on national origin. So all children are paternistically protected, which means their parents and relatives are protected from others having access to abuse them. But oppressed nation young people are more likely to be considered adults at an earlier age. They're out of the frying pan and into the fire. When prosecutors are given the authority to determine who is a child and who is an adult, the system is exposed for its vengefulness, irrationality, and national oppression. For example, in cases where the legal system allows discretion, there is usually a bias against people convicted of committing crimes against those who are most protected by the system, as in death penalties being most likely when the victims are white. While we believe that the JPI study ends up painting too rosy a picture of the juvenile justice system by comparison, it is true that by mission and orientation, the juvenile justice system claims to rehabilitate, where the adult system exists by its own admission only to repress. When prosecutors decide to try children as adults in court, they are deciding against even the pretense of rehabilitation, and they are empowered to make that decision based on the supposed character of the individual or his or her crime. We also report on this study to expose the ever-growing trend towards longer, harsher sentences and increased repression of youth and oppressed nations in general. In addition to pending federal law, quote, a ballot initiative which will go before California voters in March 2000 would also grant prosecutors discretion to decide whether a juvenile should be tried in adult court, end quote. Our criticisms of the criminal juvenile injustice system are thorough and across the board. No one practice, if eliminated, would rehabilitate this vicious system. But studying the specific practices can expose the system's nature. Join MIM and Rails' efforts to struggle against the injustice system.
Remember the Attica Rebellion. This is a statement from the Maoist Internationalist Movement released on the 28th anniversary of the Attica Prison Rebellion. September 9th marks the 28th anniversary of the Attica Prisoners' Rebellion against both inhumane conditions within the New York State prison system and against the repression of political struggle throughout America. The rebellion occurred in the context of increasing anti-imperialist organizing and brought America's attention to the needs of prisoners. The struggle at Attica Prison in upstate New York also led radicals outside America's gulags to examine the treatment of prisoners within the anti-imperialist movement. In remembering Attica, MIM honors the masses murdered by America. We take this opportunity to build upon historical revolutionary lessons and to continue the struggle against American imperialism and its internal domination through police occupation and the prison system. We urge prisoners to join United Struggle from within, study Maoist political economy and philosophy, and develop an historical material analysis. Such study will give prisoners the best tools to build the anti-imperialist revolution toward socialism. Prisoner members of the Black Panther Party, Young Lords Party, Weathermen, and other groups organized within Attica, and some prisoners participated in Maoist study groups. Prisoners formed the Attica Liberation Front and presented a list of demands to the New York State Commissioner of Correction Services, Russell Oswald, in May 1971. The prisoners wrote, quote, we are firm in our resolve, and we demand as human beings the dignity and justice that is due to us by our right of birth. We do not know how the present system of brutality and dehumanization and injustice has been allowed to be perpetuated in this day of enlightenment, but we are living proof of its existence, and we cannot allow it to continue. End quote. The prisoners' demands included an end to prison slave labor, freedom to be politically active, uncensored access to publications and mail, open communications with the outside world, a healthy diet, freedom to practice religion, modernized education, adequate medical attention, and genuinely rehabilitative programs within the prisons. MIM and prisoner activists continue to fight for such basic demands in America. But the idea of prisoners as human beings who deserve dignity